This program is a paid commercial announcement from Jacob Media Partners and does not reflect the views of WPHT or its management.
There are so many choices when it comes to selecting the right financial institution. Start with the Philadelphia Federal Credit Union. We're right here in your city. We're also the official credit union of Temple University, and anyone who lives, works, worships, and studies in Philadelphia can open an account. We're member-owned and offer all the services you're looking for, like mobile banking and free ATM withdrawals. Visit our website at pfcu.com. We're not here for our profit, here for yours. Federally insured by NCUA.
Free speech lives here. Talk Radio 1210. WPHT. WPHT HD. WOGL HD3. Philadelphia. A radio.com station. Now, from the Malamut & Associates Law Studios, it's good news in real estate. If you're a homeowner, if you're selling a home, or perhaps purchasing a home or vacation property, welcome to our home. It's good news in real estate, presented by the Philadelphia Federal Credit Union. Your hosts for the next radio hour, the mortgage mom, Deanne Katsaros, along with real estate veteran and owner-operator of the Philadelphia Real Estate Classes, Mark Cumberland. Your real estate education starts right now. It's Good News in Real Estate, presented by the Philadelphia Federal Credit Union.
All right, good morning. Get ready to laugh and learn here on Good News in Real Estate on Talk Radio WPHT 1210. I'm Mark Cumberland, along with my co-host, the mortgage mom, Deanne Katsaros. How are you, Deanne?
I'm doing great, Mark. How are you?
I'm very wide awake today here.
It's always scary.
No, I'm here. We're very excited. Here every Sunday, 9 o'clock. We're here to talk about real estate, mortgages, residential, commercial, whatever we can think of to keep you informed. And you can get a hold of us. My number is 267-266-5501. What's your number, Deanne?
My number is 609-605-7153.
And we're here just to keep you informed every week, and you can help you in any way. You can listen to this show, and eventually our show is also at our website, Good News in Real Estate. So what are we talking about today, Deanne?
Coming up on today's show, Mark, we have the market report.
Got one for you.
We have our business tips with Asking Dr. A.
The doctor.
We also have Mark's funny story.
Got one for you.
I'm sure you do. We also have our mortgage mom topic.
Which is?
203K financing.
Yeah, this is an interesting topic and people should know.
I'm excited about it. It's a great topic. We also have our questions, Mark.
Yes.
What are the pros and cons of selling an empty house? Next question is, the buyer backed out due to possible layoff, fear of not being able to afford the payments. What should I do? Should I let them out? The next question is, where should I hang my real estate license?
That's a good one.
Next question, what can we do about a seller's agent who didn't disclose a toxic mold in the house?
Oh, man, that's a problem.
And also, we have our topic of the day, which is the 80-20 rule. It's not a math problem.
It is not a math problem.
But Mark, first, give us your motivational quote.
And the motivational quote is, to be efficient is to do things right. To be effective is to do the right thing.
Wow, so profound.
Very profound on Sunday morning.
That's awesome.
All right, so where are we at?
Mark, we are up to the market report.
Very good. And there's the bell. And I'm telling you, the bell with the market.
Crazy.
Up and down and up and down. But overall, it's up.
Oh, it's totally up.
I mean, I got a friend. He keeps telling me, I'm selling at 29,000, and then it hits 29,000. I think I'm going to wait till 30,000. I say, well, you might as well wait because it's going to happen. Yeah. So anyway, the market report. Single women are outpacing single men when it comes to home ownership.
Really?
You know what? In reality, it makes sense to me because you women outnumber us anyway. There's more women than there are men. But this new study done, in some metros, single women are achieving double-digit percentages in home ownership. See, the women are waking up, and they're buying instead of renting.
Well, we're also just smarter.
Yeah, I knew that was coming. For example, New York Metro, single women own 13.3% of the owner-occupied home, whereas men own only 7.9%. In San Francisco, a single woman comprises 12.1% of market compared to single men of 7.6%. I mean, they're way off. They're not even close.
I like it.
I don't know. These single dudes are out partying while these women are like making investments. Single women own about 1.5 million more homes than single men do in the nation's largest 50 metros. 5.1 million versus 3.5 million.
That's sweet.
The guys are way behind here, man.
Shocking.
Some sellers' profits climbed to a 13-year low. Now we're going to talk about the seller's market. Home sellers nationwide felt richer at resale in 2019 because we are in this seller's market with this lack of inventory. The average seller saw a home price gain of $65,000 on a typical sale over a year ago, which was up from $58,000 in the prior year. This is a new study that was done. This marks the highest levels since 2006,
you know,
which
that
makes sense to me.
It totally makes sense. And it brings up a good point because right now we're in the refinance mode. So, I mean, people are refinancing because the rates are so incredibly low right now. And I have a client that purchased in May of 2017 in Philadelphia area, and they have an FHA loan. So I'm reaching out to them to be able to lower their interest rate.
What was their rate in 17?
Well, their rate was four and a half.
Four something.
Yeah, it was 4.5. We're going to be able to drop them down to like 3.875. But my point is that I'm going to be able to convert that loan into a conventional loan because the property value has increased so much and be able to lower that monthly mortgage insurance.
That's right. And save them a few hundred bucks
a month. They're actually going to save $157 a month.
I was talking to somebody before we actually walked in today to record the show. And he asked me about the real estate market. And I told him how many houses were for sale in Philadelphia. I said there's 4,300 homes for sale in Philadelphia, active for sale, out of 676,000. And he just stared at me.
Yeah,
like he goes, how can that be? I said, that's the market we're in, and the public doesn't know.
Right.
They don't know. Otherwise, these other gains, that also represents 34% average return on their investment compared to the original investment, which is also the highest home seller return on investment since 2006. So it is a great time to cash in if you're thinking about moving. And then you have home sales climb, sellers in a good position. The nation housing boom kept roaring along in 19. Most real estate agents had their best year in 18, and then had their best year in 19 of all time.
Without a doubt.
As prices hit new records, returning ever higher profits to home sellers and posing even greater challenge to buyers seeking bargains. Because finding a bargain is not as easy
as you think.
All right, that's right. Signs that the market were losing some steam last year as profit margins increased at a slower pace since 2011, while low mortgage rates are propping up prices. The declining progress suggests some uncertainty going into the 2020 buying season. But I'm already saying 2020 is going to be really busy.
It's going to be really busy. I mean, we're busy in January.
Yeah.
I mean, normally January, February is a slow time, and it is by no means slow right now, which
is great. The only agents I know are slow are the ones that are sending out calendars and crossing their fingers and waiting for somebody to call them.
Waiting for the phone to ring. Yep.
You know. Anyway. So anyway, this Federal Reserve, the big thing that they're with construction, new construction, the biggest problem is lack of construction workers. They cannot find enough skilled labor. So
That's always been a problem.
We can talk about that later. We're running out of little time here on this thing, though. But the supply side, it's the biggest limitation to housing construction has been this labor shortage, according to National Association of Home Builders. And report says there's no change in the number of home builders reporting labor shortages. At 4.5% seasonal adjustment in December, unemployment rates in the construction sector was the lowest since 2000. So, I mean, one of the problems is lack of labor.
Right.
So what are the rates like?
Speaking of lowest, your 30-year fixed rate, 3.5%. Your 30-year V8 is 3.25%. 20-year fixed is 3.25%. 15-year is 2.75%. And 7/1 ARM we're still offering is 2.875%, which is crazy. Because you should not be in an ARM at this point. I mean, you should still be getting into that fixed.
A 30-year fixed VA, 2.75.
Yeah, it's nuts.
That's like really low rate. Yep. I mean, ought to take advantage of that.
And they are. I mean, it's definitely.
And a lot of them don't know they can buy more than one house on that.
That is true.
So that with that, true. You're listening to Good News in Real Estate here on 1210 WPHD. All positive, all the time. We'll be right back.
On behalf of the Philadelphia Federal Credit Union, we hope you're enjoying Good News in Real Estate with Deanne Katsaris and Mark Cumberland. The Philadelphia Federal Credit Union, not here for our profit, here for yours. Deanne and Mark will have more after the break and this message from Debt Free Living. Learn more at WeHateDebt.com.
All right, welcome back to Good News in Real Estate here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. All positive, all the time. So where are we at, Deanne?
Mark, we are up to your funny story.
And I got one for you. I just did a funeral power deal not too long ago, and my good friend Alan Jones that owns Allworth Funeral Homes, I had to tell him this one. He liked this one. So anyway, this blonde funeral undertaker, this guy dies, and he's delivered to the local funeral home wearing this really expensive tailored black suit. And the director asked the deceased wife, she goes, "How would you like the body dressed?" And she points out that the man looks great in this black suit he's already wearing. The widow, however, says, though, she wants her husband dressed in the best blue, and she wants him in the best blue suit she can find. She gives the blonde undertaker a blank check. She says, "Listen, I don't care what it costs. Just have him in the best suit ever you can find for his viewing." So the woman returns 2 days later for the wake to view the body first. To her delight, she finds her husband dressed in this gorgeous blue suit with a very subtle chalk stripe. Suit fits him perfectly. She says to the funeral director, she goes, "I don't care whatever it cost. I'm satisfied. You did an excellent job. I'm very grateful. How much did you spend?" To her astonishment, the undertaker says, "There's no charge," and hands her back the blank check. She goes, no, really, I insist. I must compensate you for the cost of this exquisite blue suit." She goes, "Honestly, ma'am, it costs nothing. I'll tell you what happened. Another deceased gentleman about your husband's size was brought in shortly after you left, and he was wearing this gorgeous, attractive blue suit. And I asked his wife if he mind going to the grave in this gorgeous black suit. And she said it made no difference as long as he looked nice. So I just switched the heads."
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Really? If you have a funny story you'd like to hear it on our show, and it's better than that one, please send it to 8029@comcast.net or give us a call at 267-266-5501.
And now it's time for the Mortgage Mom segment with Deanne Katsaris, the Mortgage Mom from Green Tree Mortgage. And her topic is the 203K financing. I got it.
Again, as I said last week, you know, it was just a matter of time. Perfect. Thanks for not disappointing me.
I got it. All right, tell me about this.
So now I have
people need to know about this.
This is very important. I just got to gather myself after the whole head switching thing and try to do my topic. Thank you very much for that.
All right.
Last week, we talked a little bit about different loans that were available. We talked about conventional. We talked about rural. We talked about VA. We talked about FHA. Inside those loans with your FHA and your conventional is another loan on the FHA, which is called a 203K. So if you're interested in snapping up a bargain home or renovating it,
right,
so that it meets exactly your needs, or if you have a kitchen full of outdated appliances that you'd like to replace, an FHA 203K home loan may be the solution. And this is why. Because unlike standard mortgage loans, this loan, which is officially known as the Federal Housing Administrative 203K Rehabilitation Loan.
Oh, really? Right?
Try to say that four times. It wraps renovation and purchase, or renovation and refinancing costs, into one mortgage.
So yeah, this is a great loan.
It's a great loan.
Especially in this market.
I'm actually doing one personally for myself and just going through the process. It's amazing.
You actually put your house up for sale?
It's not. No, it's a long story.
Technically?
Technically, no.
No.
I'm co-signing for someone and they're going through the 203K. So I wanted to do it together. So I'm actually like on site doing all this. But anyway.
That's cool.
Yeah, it is very cool. So this gives prospective buyers sometimes, you know, you're looking at a home and they'll shy away from the costs that need renovation because they can't come up with the cash for, let's say, a new roof or new flooring, or they want to put...
they just want it the way they want it.
Yeah, or they want to add an addition. So in addition to the closing costs and the down payment and the moving costs, they're just too tight and it doesn't work.
Right.
But a mortgage loan that combines all of these expenses, it allows you to extend your payments for the renovation over the life of the loan rather than paying them up front in a lump sum. You can also deduct the interest you pay for your entire mortgage on your income taxes, even the portion that you're using for the renovation. So if you did this for put it on a credit card, you wouldn't be able to deduct as much of those interest payments. So back in the days of easy money before the, you know, the housing bubble burst, homeowners who wanted to redo their kitchen or add a whirlpool or a tub to their master bathroom could easily take out a line of credit or a home equity loan, you know, to pay for those pet projects. Today, the mortgage lenders are far less likely to approve those home equity loans because of how much equity you need to have, what your credit score might be. So without the significant home equity and excellent credit, your chances of qualifying for that second line of credit are slim to none. There's two types.
None.
All right, let's just leave it at slim. Sorry. There's two types of the FHA 203K. There's a streamlined loan.
Right.
And the streamlined loan is limited to a maximum amount of $35,000 in repairs.
And you can do that one yourself, right?
Let's not say yourself, but let's say without a consultant. You don't need a HUD consultant to actually run the project. And also while doing, it's not only $35,000 in repairs, it's that you're not doing any, you're not moving any weight-bearing walls.
Right.
So the project that we're doing, we're actually blowing out the kitchen and we're taking one of the walls and we're just moving it.
Right.
So now it becomes a full-blown 203K and where the HUD consultant has to come into
and
play.
And the HUD consultant is a good thing, I think.
The HUD consultant is a great thing, and they do a great job. The only thing that you need
Explain to them who they are. They're not some government official.
No,
like,
but they...
Like Mary Hall or...
Catherine
Hall.
Right. So So that's what I was just going to explain. Most of the times, well, it's a fact that your HUD consultant for the 203K loan or the Home Possible loan has to have 2 years minimum of being a home inspector.
Right.
But the important thing to remember, and this was a lesson that I actually learned, is that when you have the consultant come out to the property and they go through the walkthrough of everything that you want to have done, we're going to take out the kitchen, we're going to move the appliances, we're going to take down the one wall, we're going to add a deck to the back, you know, some other things that we're doing. That's not a home inspection. So when the 203K consultant came out and realized that this deck that was on the back of the house was completely unsafe and said it had to be removed, okay? When we went back to the seller to ask them to do that based on the consultant, that wasn't a home inspection.
Right.
So you know how you have that 10-day period to have a home inspection? Well, when the when we went back to the seller, our agent said that we couldn't do it that way because it wasn't in a reply to the inspection because it wasn't actually a home inspection. So after having the consultant come through the house, do a complete walkthrough, we had to bring him back again to do a home inspection so that he could write up an actual home inspection.
Wow.
Because when we wanted to do the repairs, that was actually a feasibility schedule of what we wanted to have done, how much it was going to cost and what we needed to have done.
Now, to make this a little less complicated for the audience, say you were, this is how it could work in this market. Like I have an office up in Mount Airy, right? And there's all these giant 6-bedroom homes around there.
Right.
That, you know, people lived in for years and need some work. And people would like to buy this house, but it needs a ton of works. It needs a new kitchen.
Right.
It needs a new bathroom.
Right.
It needs this and does. And they can't afford to move in and just do all that.
Sure.
This program solves that problem.
Exactly.
You can now buy that house in that neighborhood.
Right.
And get all that done. And then at the end of it, if I'm correct here, it's valued after all that work is done, correct?
So, well, yes. Yes and no. What happens is once we get that feasibility schedule from the consultant,
yes,
we take that and the work upright order, which tells you exactly, you know, the scope of work and how much it's going to cost, that goes to the appraiser. And the appraiser goes out to the house and appraises it as if the work has already been done.
Right.
And this is done prior to closing.
Right.
Right. So we haven't closed on the loan yet. The appraiser goes out there, takes the work upright order, sees everything that's going to happen, and maybe those repairs are $35,000,
yeah,
and the house is $200,000. So now we're taking a loan out for $235,000. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So you're getting the future.
It's a great program that people need to be aware of.
Yeah, I'm going to continue this on the next segment because I didn't get a chance to go through it a lot, but that's awesome. So coming up next is our questions from our callers.
All right, very good. So with that, you're listening to Good News in Real Estate, all positive all the time here on 1210 WPHT. We'll be right back. Thank you.
Deanne and Mark are halfway through this week's edition of Good News in Real Estate, presented by the Philadelphia Federal Credit Union. Not here for our profit, here for yours. When the show returns, more real estate news from around the Delaware Valley. But first, a word from one of our home team partners, RE/MAX, and Alan Stassen, who's famous for being a Philadelphia real estate expert.
All right, welcome back to Good News in Real Estate here on 1210 WPHT Radio on Good News in Real Estate. So where are we at, Deanne?
Mark, we are up to our questions from our callers. We got some good questions.
Oh, yeah? So what's the first question?
The first question is, what are the pros and cons of selling an empty house?
See, I'm not real good at this because I'm not...
Wait. Wait, stop the press.
All right.
There's something you're not good at?
Yes. Oh, I'm modest, man. I know the things I'm not good at.
All right, let's hear this
answer. But walking into an empty house, to me... And have a client say to me, well, what do you think?
Right.
And where do you think you should put this and that and that? Me, I'm Mr. D, not too observant. I'm like looking for the cable wire. Well, there's a good spot for the TV. Like, I'm not good at visualizing an empty house.
And laying it out.
Yeah. So, I mean, the pros and cons to me, if I walk into an empty house, you know, I did one down on the river, one of those million-dollar condos, and it was totally empty. And the husband started to ask me where I thought he should put furniture and stuff. Like, I'm like, I don't know.
Well, you know? It's funny because when we had my husband and I were picking our wedding reception, and at the time I was in the business.
Right.
So I could walk into a room, I could see,
visualize,
you know, where
it.
The tables are going to go, where the head table, the dance floor, blah, blah, blah. I walked into planning my wedding, and I've already been doing this for like 5 years. I walk into the place, and it's all covered up. It was an outside venue, and the bar stools were up. The tent wasn't down, and my husband's like, what do you think? And I burst into tears. I'm like, I hate it. I can't visualize it, and we can't have it here.
And
so you got to know the personality.
I know.
To know whether or not you're going to be able to do that.
And Dr. Abelson on our show talks about the different types of personalities.
Exactly.
And, you know... Me, I'm not good at seeing what a house could look like,
right,
with the vision of it.
All right.
Like,
we got that.
The pros. So what the pros are, some people like walking in and there's no furniture, there's no clutter, and they can, visualize.
We can shorten this real quick. All right. The pros and cons are, if the house is empty, don't call Mark Cumberland. If the house isn't empty,
or show it to you,
call someone else. All right. Question number two. The buyer backed out due to possibly being laid off or fear of not being able to afford payments. What should I do? Should I let them out?
So this is a tough one.
It's not really tough. I mean, you're setting them up for failure. Of course you should let them out of the contract.
Yeah, but you know what? When you finally sign that agreement of sale and everybody signs off on it, it's more than one family here involved. There could be.
Maybe there isn't.
There could be four families involved.
But let's assume there isn't.
Say there's only two. All right. The people that are selling already have a house and are under no pressure.
Right.
Yeah.
It depends on the circumstances.
But a lot of times, those people are moving to another house that somebody else is moving out of. The buyers are coming from a house that somebody might be buying. There's a lot of... It can get sticky.
This isn't
here.
A black and white question. I mean,
no,
you need to know all the particulars. If the seller can put the house back on the market, especially in today's market, can probably sell it fairly quickly.
Really quickly.
Okay.
So if this is a nice house that was priced right, chose right, it probably sold within a week or so anyway.
Right.
And just to hold somebody's feet to the fire and try to get their deposit, I would recommend against it. But also, the one thing that in here that you got to be aware of, it says buyer back out due to possible layoff and fear of not being to afford.
Well,
sometimes people, what if they don't get laid off? They're just high C personalities that think, oh, what happens if I lose my job?
But we do a verification of employment.
I know that.
So if we're calling the employer to say, hey, is John still there? Does John work there? What is the probability of him still working there?
You asked that question?
It's on the verification of employment that gets written
some
up.
Some people, because there are people that get buyer's remorse.
But I'm also saying that if they mark on that paper that they're likely for that job or that position not to continue.
Your job's going away.
Then they're not getting approved for the loan.
Yeah, they're going to have a problem.
Right.
But there are some cases, probably more than that where they just got cold feet.
Okay.
And then on the seller side, too. At the last minute, they don't want to move. Or,
well, then it's too bad.
Yeah. Then you're locked into a contract. But if you have a good, I believe in karma.
Sure.
So if somebody's in a tough spot and they put a deposit down on your property and something happened, somebody died, whatever, the job was lost, I would try to convince my clients to let them out and, you know, have a heart and it'll come back to you. Karma always comes back.
You're so sweet, Mark.
I am. I am warm and fuzzy.
You are so warm and fuzzy.
I am warm and fuzzy, man.
All right, next one.
What's the next one?
Where should I hang my real estate license?
See, this is an interesting question.
I don't think you should be answering
it. I probably should not be answering this question. You know, I do own an office.
Bias.
I am a little biased, but like I'm not going to badmouth any companies. But what I will say, though, if you just came out of real estate school, be very careful where you're hanging your license. In fact, if you want, you can email me. I'll send you a list of questions to ask brokers. Because that's who you're going to go interview with, right. Brokers.
Right. The most important thing is going to be your training.
Yeah. Well, they don't think that. Most of them think it's split, the money.
Right.
But it's not. If I always tell the students, what's 100% of zero? And then they all look at me.
And you'll see
because
that
if you don't know what you're doing, you're not going to make any money anyway.
Most of the agents that are successful have coaches, have mentors,
right.
And probably their first, let's say, 5 to 10 transactions are with someone else. Someone's going out on the listing. Someone's going to the closing.
If they're smart and got a mentor.
That's why I'm saying the successful ones.
Yeah. The dropout rate's 25% for
because what happened
agents.
With you? Somebody said,
good
you know,
luck,
good
go
luck.
Get them.
And there's a phone book.
I still use that line every time I do my $0 to $20 million course, my coaching session. And that's a rough way to learn. I mean, I quit a high paying job to take a shot at real estate and they basically wish me luck.
Right. And back then, and what was that in the 60s when you were using the phone book?
Hey, keep it up. I'll be like picking on your, how long you've been around too.
All right. Let's go to the next question.
All right.
What can we do about a seller or seller's agent who didn't disclose a toxic mold condition in the house?
Yeah, this is really bad.
So this is not good.
If you know, if you're aware of a condition like that. Now, toxic mold, that could be black mold. Black mold is, every house has mold. I know the audience is not going to like to hear this, but you could buy a brand new house, brand new.
Right.
It's going to have some mold in it. And especially some of the new construction, because they seal them so tight, they don't breathe.
They don't breathe, right.
But so there's mold in your house. I know you don't like to hear this. Somewhere in your house. And most mold's not that harmful. Like me, if I walk into a room with mold, my tongue tingles. My tongue tingles. I can pick it up.
Right.
Now, it doesn't make me sick or nothing, but I know it's in the room.
Okay.
But now black mold is a different story. I rented an office one time years ago up in Washington Crossing and for a real estate office, and they didn't disclose they had black mold, and our receptionist almost went blind.
Wow.
Black mold is that
bad.
It's
deadly.
It's really bad. And She almost lost her eyesight over it. So black mold, but just because it looks black doesn't mean it's black mold. It's just, most of the time, it's just mold.
So what do you do? The question is, what do you do if they didn't disclose it?
If they didn't disclose it, that's what you show up. If you sue, and whatever the remediation costs are, the legal costs, all, you show up in court with your seller's disclosure, and where it says, are you aware of any mold? They probably check no.
Right.
And that's what you show the judge. You do everything in real estate as you're standing in front of your honor. That's the way I teach everybody. If you did this in front of your honor, what would happen? But if the seller and the agent knew there was real black mold and didn't disclose, they're going to get sued.
Yep.
They're going to have a serious problem. So,
and that's one of the conditions that can be fixed with the 203K.
Right. And a lot of mold thing problems can be solved easier than you think they can be. It doesn't always turn into a crisis.
Right. Or the house has to be wrapped up in...
Government scares the people to death by adding new sections to the contract about mold.
And right.
I remember years ago, there was a big thing about asbestos, and you've been hearing a little bit about it in the schools, but nobody questions. Like, if you don't touch that stuff, it's fine. Don't disturb it.
Right.
Anyway. So...
Thank you for the questions, Mark. All right, so coming up next is the 80-20 rule. And it is not a math problem.
All right. And it's not. So with that, you're listening to Good News in Real Estate, all positive all the time here on Talk Radio, WPHT 1210. We'll be right back.
Good News in Real Estate with Deanne Katsaris and Mark Cumberland is proudly being provided by the Philadelphia Federal Credit Union. Not here for our profit, here for yours. Deanne and Mark will have more in a moment, but first, a message from one of our home team partners, Greentree Mortgage. How much do you qualify for? Ask Deanne now at mortgagemom.net.
All right, welcome back to Good News in Real Estate here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. So where are we at, Deanne?
Mark, we are up to the topic of the day. And the topic is the 80-20 rule. It is not a math problem.
And it's not a math problem.
This is one of my favorite topics, actually.
And this one should be, because this is in your daily life. This is not a theory. It's not some, story somebody has. This is like
fact.
Gravity.
This is fact.
It's like gravity. It's in your everyday life. It's in your business life. And you need to understand the 80-20 rule.
All right. Well, tell us about
80% it. 80% of the output comes from 20% of the input in your business, right? In your social life, it's the same thing. This goes all the way back to the 14th century. There was a philosopher named Pareto, right? And he realized that 80% of the wealth of Italy was owned by 20% of the people. And after he realized that, he started looking at everything else in your life. And everything in your life has the 80-20 rule attached to it. And I tell the students this all the time, and it opens up their eyes. And like, I'll give you an example in your personal life. In your personal life, you're going to have a big party at the Katsaris house, right?
Yep.
So you send out invitations. You got all these people come. You get the drinks, the cocktails, the food's all ready. The big Greek wedding's going to happen. So they all show up for like 5 or 6 hours. And you're still the host. So out of that 5 or 6 hours, you're still running around, talking, socializing, doing whatever. Probably about an hour, maybe less, or maybe a little more, made it all worthwhile to you. That was the 20%. And then they all left, and you're back in the 80% straightening up the mess. Same in your business life. Like realtors, they think running around showing houses, going on a listing presentation, all that stuff is 20% work. That's 80% work. What gets you to business is the 20%. The rest of it is the work.
The minutia.
Yeah, doing the stuff.
Right.
Like, I remember when we first got together 10 years ago and I was telling you, you need to hire an assistant. And you were like, no, everybody wants to deal with me. I'm like, no, they don't. I'm like, once you start getting into 20%, you really like the 20%.
And I want to thank you for that, for drilling that into my head, because actually on January 28th, was my assistant slash loan partner's anniversary with me for 7 years.
There you go.
We've been together for 7 years.
Right. And look what you have accomplished.
I'm in my 20%.
That's right. Like, you spend a month in Greece. You come back.
You
went away for about like a month. Then you had that tragic thing with your father.
Right.
And when you came back, the business was still running.
Yep.
I had the brain surgery.
Yep.
When I came back, my RE/MAX office is still running. The school was still running. Now, if it would have been all me and everybody wanted to deal with me, everything would have been closed. So here's for the public and our audience listening. Here's how you stay in the 20%. You try to figure out what's the 20 and what's the 80. And the 20 will get you where you want to go. The 80 always gets done. Like the 80 in a regular person's job, when they're going to go on vacation, they clean the desk up, they get everything organized, so nobody bothers them for a week. Imagine if you thought like that every day.
Right.
And you did what was important first, and then you did get to the 80. Because I'm bad at the 80. Like, my teachers, I love my teachers. My teachers keep me in the 20%, and they know what my 20 is. My 20 is doing the Google ads, the Facebook ads, and answering the phone. They teach the actual long 75-hour course, which to me is 80%, because if I was stuck in there, I couldn't do the 20. And the same with my other businesses, too.
No, agreed. It's something that people have to learn.
And one of the keys is you put if you're in business, you attach a dollar amount to your 20%.
What are you worth an hour?
$225. If some broker calls me up and says, "Mark, I want to hire you to coach my office, how much do you charge?" I say $225 without batting an eye. Is it negotiable? Yes. So I tell all these students and all realtors, if you want to make $100,000 a year, you divide $100,000 by 52 by 40.
Right.
You're worth $48 an hour as of this moment forward. And they all just look at me. I said, so every time you're not doing something that's getting you on your way to where you want to be, it's costing you $48 an hour, or $50 basically. So why don't you hire somebody for $12 or $15 to do the 80%?
Right.
You know? So it's in your everyday life, your social, your business life, but it's got to be in the back of your head.
Right.
Like, I have signs hanging in my office, 80-20. We even put them in the bathrooms. So if somebody sits down, they're going to see the 80-20 just to try to remember them, you know? But it's a very important thing, and it's always in the back of my mind. And when I'm stuck in the 80, I am not a happy camper.
No, agreed. And, you know, as I said, my assistant slash loan partner has been with me for 7 years, and I really, Mark, just want to take a real quick second to give her a huge shout out, Kimberly Welding, because she allows me to stay in my 20. And I am so, so grateful for her. So, Kimberly, thank you.
All right. It's key. And even everybody that's listening, think about, you know, even in your social life, take advantage of it.
Yep.
All right. So where are we at?
Mark, we are up to our segment with Dr. A.
Dr. A, you there?
I most certainly am.
And Mark, today we're going to talk about the 4 behavioral types.
Now, this is very interesting. I hope the audience picks a little bit of this up every week. So, Doctor, today you're going to explain the 4 behavioral types. Go ahead and tell us the D, the I, the S, and the C.
Let me give a little history first, okay?
All right.
This topology, or way of looking at people, goes all the way back to 440 BC. So it's nothing new. And when whatever type of behavioral assessment that you're using, okay, they all go back basically to this,
right?
And there are dozens of different behavioral styles out there, right? The one that we have is the DISC, and there's over 30 different DISCs. The one that we have is the most accurate. But let me get into what the D, I, S, and C stands for.
All right.
Basically, what happens is you have people who, let's start with the D, because that's where it all starts, right? At least the D, I, S, C does. What happens with that is these people are confrontational. They like challenge. They like to take risks. They like to be doing a whole bunch of different things at the same time. They drive themselves. Okay, so they're very, very competitive. And they're results-oriented, which is really important.
They want to get to the bottom line. Yes.
They want to get to the bottom line. And sometimes, the ends justify the means, which is not a good thing as far as what it is you're doing, because sometimes they get off track and they do things they might not necessarily should be doing.
And they might not be so warm and fuzzy.
That's right. Well, let's go to the opposite.
Okay, all right, tell us about the I.
Which are the S's. Well, I'm going to go to the S because they're opposite of the D.
All right.
Because what happens with the S is they're slower to change. They're much more predictable. They're patient. They're stable. In any type of organization, what you want to do is the S's are very important because they bring stability and they help deal with issues when people get upset with each other. And that's what they do. They're very good listeners. They're very accommodating. Okay, so it's very, very different from the D, and the S stands for steadiness or supporter. So right. Every organization needs to have that type of individual.
And this is a big group. This is majority of the population, probably.
It is. Right. It is. Okay. Now, one of the other aspects is people can change. There's a myth out there that once you're a certain behavioral style, you can't change. It's ridiculous. Just look and see the people who are 60 or 70 listening to this. Look how you have changed over the years, right? Let's go to the next major style, which is the I, or influencer. And these people are the ones who bring energy typically to the group. They're very optimistic. They're trusting. They love to talk. Right. One of the interesting aspects in an office, if you have two eyes next to each other, they keep on talking. All right. So that's not a good area, but they are very important because they bring that energy and they don't understand the word no. They're great as far as leading, you know, and looking for sales. They're not necessarily good for closing. The fourth basic style are C's or compliance, and they're very analytical typically. IT people, accountants, engineers are stereotypic type of
area. Very organized. Where
these types of people. They're detailed, they're quality, they're exacting, they're accurate, but they're cautious.
Right.
Okay, and they're going to ask all kinds of questions, and they're going to be somewhat pessimistic because they want to make sure it's right. Detail and accuracy and correctness is very important for them.
All right, doctor. So what we're going to do over the next few weeks, I think we should pick each personality and get into a little detail and talk about what percentage of the population they are. And because we're running out of time here. So tell us how to get a hold of you real quick. And maybe we'll talk about that off the air, what we're going to do next few weeks.
Alrighty. Just contact me at Abelson@Abelson.net, Abelson@Abelson.net. And if you're really interested in this stuff, we actually have a certification program coming up the beginning of April.
All right. Very good.
Awesome. Thank you, Dr. A.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you.
If you have any questions, you can email them to mark@8029@comcast.net or give him a call at 267-266 5501.
And a special thanks to all of our listeners and our sponsors for keeping us on the air for 10 years and our new move here at Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. And we hope you tune in every week, and we'll keep you informed. And you can listen to us every Sunday at 9 a.m. So with that, have a great week. I'm Mark Cumberland.
I'm Deanne Katsaris, your mortgage mom.
You've been listening to Good News in Real Estate.
All positive, all the time.
Thanks for listening to Good News in Real Estate, a Jacob Media production. If you're interested in learning more about the power of the radio hour, contact Joe Kraus at 267-261-3428. This program is a paid commercial announcement and in no way represents the views of WPHT or its management.